The firm of Harris and Marang. Not ambulance chasing, but plenty of rides in one.
From the hips down, man, it's a disaster.
The firm. Patrick Harris.
And someone crashed their car on the I-5 bridge.
Danny Marang.
I've had some bad runs.
On the Fan Sports Network, 105.1 and 1080. The Fan.
All right, hour number deuce here. The firm of Harris and Marang, Portland sports leader. If you missed any of the first hour, you can check that out on the Fan Podcast, 1051thefan.com, the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts, including over on YouTube, youtube.com/1051thefan. If you missed Josh Pate or Bill Connolly on Dirt and Sprague this morning, you can catch that on the YouTube or the Odyssey app. If you're going to miss primetime this afternoon, I'm sure they'll get into some more Oregon, Indiana.
And I can go over your shoulder right now and see Josh Pate on ESPN.
You can catch that on Odyssey app or the YouTube rewind, fast forward, except for in the future. That would be impossible. Coming up this hour, we will get to some NFL stuff as our walkabout around playoff teams continues. We'll take on the Green Bay Packers this hour along with Web Gems. Don't worry, you Blazer kids. We'll get to them in the nooner. And we'll talk a little Jim Harbaugh as well. But the story of the day, I mean, locally, the story of the day is Jordan Davison, which is kind of why that kind of led our show. Plus, we had Tyson. But and it's not even because it's 3 hours up north. I think the story of the day is Damon Williams. At UW. There are many layers to this that we'll try to peel back and get to. The biggest one of the layers being how this all shakes out and the legal side of it and who's tampering, et cetera, et cetera. I want to start here, though, Danny. The biggest surprise to me about all of this, as I desperately try to look at this non-biasedly, I thought Damon Williams was very happy at UW. I thought they were very happy with him. Sounds like the new deal he signed was going to pay him around $5 million a year. Going to make him one of the higher end paid quarterbacks in the nation. Now, I understand if Cristobal comes calling or if Lane comes calling, then I guess you're interested. But it seems to me that something is fractured at UW between him and Jed Fish or the program or maybe he's smelling his own farts, like a John Morant, bad people around you situation. Or he just likes money. The biggest confusion to me is that I thought things at UW were going on the right trajectory with him at the helm. He's their guy.
I mean, the Fish family certainly did, because Jed Fish's wife said on Instagram, how dare you announce this during, teammate's funeral deal. It was like, ooh.
Yeah, for those that don't know, there's a woman on the soccer team who passed away tragically, and they held a big vigil for her. And Damon tweeted out that he was entering the portal during that, which a bunch of his teammates, including coaches, were attending.
Yeah.
So, like that's an ugly aspect. I don't know if I want to kill the kid for it, but it's an ugly aspect to it. I don't get it. I know you're losing your running back and your top wide receiver, but you're the dude. Fish believes in you. Brought you there. You're the guy. This is where my bias might come out as I tease you, Dub. I thought you were a big boy. I thought you went to the Big Ten because you wanted a seat at the big table. You paid $5 million for a quarterback. Why does he want to leave? What is happening?
I don't know. That's the thing, is the football part of this is probably the least known. The legal part of this is the most known but most unknown as far as outcome. Ross Dellinger and Darren Heitner, Dellinger for reporting side, Heitner on the legal side, he's a NIL lawyer, have a ton on this. And Dellinger has said that Williams signed a one-year rev share agreement with UW worth about $4 million. The agreement is a Big Ten template document used by all league members and built for situations like this. The agreement prohibits a player from entering the portal once signed. This is why UW is refusing to enter his name into the portals. For those that don't know, Damon Williams submitted his name. UW is refusing to do the actual labor and process paperwork, or digital paperwork as it were, to put him officially in the portal. And number two, this contract that he signed, it prohibits the player's NIL rights to be used by any other school, though the player can sign outside marketing agreements. So it's all legalese. And
so another team could not pay him. They would have to find Dick Hanna dealership to pay him.
Well, no, they could pay him, but they just can't use his NIL, his name, image, and likeness.
You couldn't put him on a banner outside.
Tony Petitti is in Seattle this week for the memorial service, is directly involved with this right now.
Well, I think you have to. I think no matter what conference you're in, you know, whether this is the Pac-12 or the SEC or the Big Ten, you know, or the American or whatever it is, I think you have to put your big guns in there. I think Petitti has to be there in person on top of this as much as he can. I don't know if he can have a conversation with DeMond, like face-to-face, kind of what's going on here. Why are we doing this?
Well, Washington officials are expected to communicate later today with DeMond's agents.
Because if players want to leave, players can leave. That's where we are. What gets wild about this, and we can talk about, you know, you got to change the time frame, and the portal is open during this time. God, of course, we've exhausted that, and I think we both still firmly believe in that. But this is also a landmark for, like, you signed a contract, but how legally binding is said contract? Because they're not employees.
Well, and that's the thing. That's where the challenge is going to come from. And it gets very messy, and it'll probably end up being a landmark case if it goes that way. Because if, for all intents and purposes, UW is appearing to, they're going to challenge this in every last bit. And Petitti apparently is in lockstep with them. And you know, LSU is the team it's named here. So it's Big Ten against SEC. It's Petitti against Sankey. Here we go again.
Side note, of course it's Lane. Yeah. Dude, just go away for a second, bro.
Miami's also listed as one of the potential destinations.
And
well,
if you've so seen
Cristobal and ACC.
Have you seen Cristobal's comments about this situation? He's like, it's the adult's fault. They're the ones screwing this up. Bro, you are actively recruiting him. You are the adult. Like, this is where it starts to really grind my gears. Like, Lane, I understand you're the most narcissistic guy in the entire sports world in America right now, but do you really, really have to be a part of everything?
I mean, I don't think he was necessarily going for it in that vein, but on the flip side...
Oh, he has to know, though, because his name's going to get leaked out in this.
I mean, again, I'll go back to the comments from Nick Saban at two drafts ago, talking about, you know, trying to go get a corner from Toledo who wasn't in the transfer portal.
I know. It just
Quinyon Mitchell was not in the transfer portal, and yet, you know, Saban's openly touting. Yeah, no, because it happens, and nobody wants to admit that it happens, and everybody wants to say, oh, you know, it's on the up and up. It's like, it's not. And here's the thing. I can't remember what lawyer I saw say this, but you want to solve these problems? It's very simple. Put the contract language in that you are signing them and paying them to play football. Then the contract becomes enforceable because they can't go leave to go play football somewhere else.
Yeah, so in theory, he could play football somewhere else, but they can't use his NIL.
Yes, that's the easiest legal loophole.
And I think if you're UW, I think you are moving on from DeMond no matter what. I think you are trying to make sure you recoup that cash.
Well, I mean...
because you don't want to pay the kid.
Yeah, no. Here's the thing.
And if you're going to do this, dude, I'm going to tell you to walk.
Do you want a guy there that doesn't want to be there?
No.
Like that's,
and it's really...
It goes back to the conversation we had with Pernetti about coaches leaving. It's like, there's two ways to handle this. If a guy doesn't want to be there and he wants to go on, do you just like encourage it and celebrate it and take it as a win?
There's an Alex Golsh in the world versus a Lane Kiffin in the world. And it's weird because I don't know if we've actually come across this situation in the sense of... a quarterback that wants to be there, a team that wants you there, and then all of a sudden you don't want to be there. Like, Dylan Raiola is a great example. It became pretty obvious near the end of the year that neither each other liked each other.
Sure.
It's kind of the end of a divorce sort of thing. So that makes sense. Sam Levitt, for whatever reason, doesn't want to be at Arizona State.
That was a little weirder.
You let him go. All right, let's take my school into account. Cam Ward, John Mateer. They both left, but they both did the Alex Golsh thing of like, look, guys, I just know there's better options somewhere else, and I have to do this for me. And we were like, see you guys. Thanks. Appreciate it. This one's weird because they seemed like the fit.
Yeah, but is LSU or Miami a better option for him?
If I'm a quarterback, hell yeah, I'd rather go to LSU or Miami.
The interesting part about this is
that— but you also signed it.
Izzy signed it yesterday. Yeah. So—
like, what happened to make you flip it? It's like— you signed your name, and so all of a sudden your name was in headlines and making the rounds on the sports media world, and all of a sudden Cristobal and Lane decided they wanted you? See, that feels weird to me, too. I don't know if I want to be a part of that either. Of, like, it takes me dating a girl for you to decide you like me? Why didn't you like me to begin with? That's what that kind of feels like to me. I worry DeMond is making a very, very, very poor choice here, because that kid ain't playing in the NFL. Like, these, his size, his strength, his body type, well, it's just not going to happen.
I heard Dirt say, like, if DeMond Williams is 5'11", I'm 5'10 and three quarters.
And I'm 5'9 and three quarters. You know what I mean? Like, he doesn't have future aspects. And if you're going to piss it away like Nico did, going to UCLA, leaving a great gig at Tennessee. Bye. At least Nico has potential NFL aspirations.
And I think, though, with Washington saying they want to pursue all of the legal options that they have in front of them to enforce this contract, I don't think it's about them trying to force his way back to Seattle and play for the Huskies. It's the financial aspect of it.
Well, totally. That's what Pete Thamel has.
Like, pay us back, B. Well,
yeah, you can go, but I want my money.
Yeah.
Pay this man his money.
Exactly. But also, it's like, did he already get the $4 million?
I don't know.
If he did, then give it back and call it good, whatever it is. But
well, and you don't know that he got the whole bag yet, but even if he got a quarter of the bag or an eighth of the bag, give it back.
That's fine.
That's what I'm saying is that when Washington is saying they want to pursue all the legal options.
But it's more than that. This is from Pete Thamel just a little bit ago. The buyout in the contract reads, the cost of the buyout is in the sole discretion of Washington.
Boom.
The second part of this is the contract specifically states that the institution is not obligated to enter the student athlete into the transfer portal, otherwise assist or facilitate the student athlete's transfer to another college or university.
Boom.
Well, I would argue that contract language is illegal because you're required by the NCAA to enter a player into the transfer portal when they have submitted their paperwork.
But
the whole idea of like, well, we don't have to do this. No, you are obligated to. Your paperwork does not supersede that. And that to me is the more interesting thing here in the challenge, because I feel like the NCAA and the universities are going to get their butts handed to them because they're not employees.
Oh, but we win a lot.
Yeah, they win a lot.
And that's the key right there. I have signed contracts, not just here, but you know, management contracts for companies and large corporations and small local stuff. And I sign those contracts and I am legally bound to follow those rules and contracts. They are not as, you know, difficult and life binding as some of this stuff is, but I am required to follow those rules because I am an employee. So is the contract in general null and void in a court of law because he's not an employee? That's where this thing goes.
Yeah.
Is Damon Williams, has he decided to be the guy to challenge the system?
Mm-hmm.
You see, it's always somebody, you know, what's the UCLA kid? O'Brien,
yeah,
who started this whole thing way back in the day. Have you decided you're going to be the guy to challenge the system? I'm down to play at UW, but maybe I'm going to fight for all my other student athletes who are getting taken advantage of. I mean, it seems like a cash grab to me.
I mean,
But I'm curious because the whole thing just doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't get it. I don't get it. Speaking of things I also don't get until...
You don't get a 20-year-old wanting more money?
I don't get the lack of realization that what you did 24 hours before.
You don't get the lack of realization.
You
from a
can't do anymore. Like, you signed on the line, bro.
It's a 20-year-old. I'm not saying that to make
He's
an excuse.
He's also not the only one making this decision. Yeah. He has people in his ear and people that are supposed to be looking out for him as well. And it sounds like that.
I mean, how often does that
big
go
part
right?
of the problem?
I don't like it. I don't like it.
I mean, like, I don't like it either, but. You know,
it is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way around it. I remember I said the other day, the Wild Wild West had it figured out. Actually, it wasn't too bad. Boy, this might just be the tip. Might just be the tip of the iceberg. Because then you get unions involved and health insurance involved. And
look, let's face it. In the Wild Wild West, you were still pooping outside.
Yeah.
Wasn't that great?
No. And the Wild Wild West only lasted about 5-7 years.
Yeah.
Was kind of nice, though.
Pooping outside?
Every now and then it's nice.
Every now and then it's great.
Everybody's teeth were gross and they smelled bad.
There are 7 openings in the NFL right now, including a team that just fired their head coach, yet 7 teams are interested in him. There's a free Harbaugh again. 105.1 The Fan.
Hello, gentlemen.
All right, we'll have Web Gems here in about a half hour. We'll take our trip around NFL playoff teams. We'll head to the frozen tundra. The Green Bay Packers, the 7th seed in the NFC, and my pick to win the Super Bowl at the beginning of the year. We'll get to them next, but let's start here. Something that broke shortly after our show yesterday. I think that will tick, tick, tick all the boxes of what was a wild Tuesday afternoon in the sports world, at least for us time-wise. The Baltimore Ravens have decided to part ways with John Harbaugh, excuse me, who had been the head coach there for the last, what did they say, 18 seasons?
18 of them things.
18 seasons, missed the playoffs 3 times.
Mm-hmm. Six division titles and a Super Bowl win.
And I just saw a graphic on ESPN that said that John Harbaugh is the 12th winningest coach all time in the NFL.
That's wild.
And the Ravens winningest coach. And I believe he has the eighth most wins with a single franchise. It's 192.
Now, a newer, that's a lot. Now, yeah. A newer franchise, but it's, there's, look,
think about that for a second, though. 18 seasons, 192 wins. Doing the math.
That's 10 a year. That's better than Tomlin.
That's pretty good.
That's better than Tomlin. And it's funny that I mentioned Tomlin because I was going to get there. That's what makes this rivalry so great is there's actually a lot of parallels mm-hmm. between Baltimore and Pittsburgh in the sense of the type of cities they're in, the
identity.
The identity, yeah. The defense, the well-coached.
We were just in Baltimore.
Totally. Beautiful, beautiful city. Shout out to you people out there. I really enjoyed it there. Similar, they're a newer franchise than Pittsburgh, but John Harbaugh is only the third coach in team history.
Yeah, they're looking for their fourth coach.
Yeah, so, I mean,
was it 31 years?
It's Brian Billick. I can't remember who was it before. God, I saw this last night. But it was the coach. I think he was the coach in Cleveland when they moved them to Baltimore, unless Belichick was the one who got fired. I don't know. But there was a coach there. Then it was Brian Billick, who won a Super Bowl. And then it was John Harbaugh.
It was Mark Broda.
Thank you. Mark Broda. So they've only got three. So they're looking at their four. And I'm curious where Ravens fans sit on this, and I'm curious where Steelers fans sit on this, because Baltimore did the thing that Pittsburgh won't, whether you want them to or not. There are some reports that are coming out that say John Harbaugh kind of lost the locker room.
Well, apparently him and Lamar.
Particularly Lamar,
yeah.
Who's your two-time MVP and your bread and butter.
Mm-hmm.
They are looking for a coach to come in to win right away. With a win now roster. I heard that this morning on the television.
Sounds like a great fit for John Harbaugh.
It does sound like a great fit for John Harbaugh, but I'll push back on this. I don't think this roster is a ready to win now roster.
No.
I don't. Now, losing your quarterback, no matter who you are, is going to drastically change your team, mm-hmm. unless you're Kyle Shanahan somehow. But with Lamar healthy, this team has not been very good this year. Is that a Harbaugh thing? Maybe there's a little Harbaugh there. But I also think it's one of the weaker personnel squads I've seen in a while.
I mean, we've talked about this about the Ravens over the last couple of years. They've got guys at positions, for sure, whether it's Lamar, whether it's Andrews, whether it's Roquan Smith or mm-hmm. Kyle Hamilton, like Marlon Humphrey. But the rest of the team has been wanting.
Derrick Henry is the only true offensive weapon I've ever seen with Lamar Jackson.
I mean, Andrews is...
He's fine. He's good.
I'd say he's better than fine.
He's better than fine.
But Hollywood Brown's your best receiver you ever had?
I mean...
You know...
The Baltimore Ravens have long had a wide receiver problem.
And that's what I mean. So I actually side on the land of Harbaugh here. Now, if you lost the locker room and you lost Lamar, then you forced my hand as an ownership
reporting
team.
is that Harbaugh's not... Doesn't disagree with this dismissal. I saw a report yesterday that he didn't want to move on from Todd Monken.
I did see that as well.
And we heard, you know, rumblings about Lamar in the locker room. And the more this stuff kind of comes and goes, the more it feels like there's a power struggle mm-hmm. that occurred. And Lamar won.
And he's going to. The dollars, if...
I don't know if I would... Look, I get it. One of them has won a Super Bowl. One of them hasn't.
One of them has won a Super Bowl and the other can't win a playoff game.
Well, here's the thing is when it comes to Harbaugh versus Lamar, and I'm not trying to make it necessarily that, but I'm just talking about coach versus player. Can we all agree that Harbaugh is an all-time great as a coach?
John Harbaugh.
18 years in a Super Bowl, it's an all-time great.
I don't think you can tell the story of the NFL coaching world without talking about John Harbaugh.
He's just outside the top 10 in wins.
Again, like I just said, 12th all-time winningest coach.
Who's the one who gets all the pub? That would be Jim. Who's the better coach? Might be John.
Okay, now think about this.
I mean, the bigger psycho is Jim.
Yeah, well, of course.
What's harder to replace? A quarterback or a coach that's that great?
It's a quarterback.
You think so?
The team is always going to go with the quarterback.
I do.
I think. The team is right or wrong, the team is always going to go with the quarterback.
I agree with you that whether I agree or not, they will. It is harder. Indianapolis has never replaced Tony Dungy. They're not going to. That's an all-time great. Mm-hmm. Look at the Cowboys post Jimmy Johnson. Mm-hmm. Barry Switzer won a Super Bowl with Jimmy Johnson's team.
And look, the Cowboys have had some really good quarterbacks in that time span.
And they've had really good coaches, too. Parcells, McCarthy, et cetera. You know?
Jason Garrett? Wait.
So I do think you can in today's world, especially with the McVay tree, the Shanahan tree, et cetera. You can find those young guys. I have to be a Lamar supporter because I was so hard on him.
And again, I'm not anti-Lamar. I'm looking at this more from just like general quarterback versus coach.
But this kind of makes me wonder if I'm starting to be anti-Lamar again. Because he can't stay healthy, which is not his fault necessarily. No. But over the last few years, when push comes to shove, he's pushing and not shoving. And that's alarming to me. I don't know. Is Andy Reid the reason why Mahomes has the juice? Is Josh McDaniels, Charlie Weiss, or Bill Belichick the reason Tom has the juice in the end? Putting you in a position to have the juice is one thing. Executing the juice is another.
That's on the quarterback.
And that's on the quarterback. Mm-hmm. And can you blame Harbaugh for not getting that out of Lamar? I don't think that's fair.
No. And look, the Raiders have a coaching opening. I would very much like to have Harbaugh as a Raider.
Without a doubt. That's the funniest part about this. I know we're up against it, but we'll have some fun with it. The funniest part is there are 7 open jobs and 7 teams have come calling.
So that means a team that currently has a coach called.
Mm-hmm.
Dare to speculate?
Sorry, and I think, well, I'll speculate on this. I think that John Harbaugh is too smart to go to Las Vegas and coach the Raiders.
Wow.
I think Harbaugh is a guy I heard Tony Dungy this morning say he likes Harbaugh in Atlanta.
Giants are also listed.
Giants would be very interesting. I mean, he's going to go wherever he wants to go. The question is,
all the other coaches now are waiting on John Harbaugh.
Exactly. I think the big question for Harbaugh is, what do you want to do? You want to build something? Do you want to take the spotlight in New York City? Your brother in LA, you in New York? That would be a tough move for me. That's probably what's not intriguing about the Giants job. Or do you want to go to a Raiders, Tennessee? You know, does Miami fire McDaniel? Is that the mystery team? Miami sounds like a mystery team to me. You know,
starting over, though.
You might like McDaniel, but if Harbaugh's available and willing to come, you jettison that bro ASAP. Do you want to build in Oakland, in Vegas, Tennessee, or Miami? Or do you want the foundation already there in the Giants? Or do you want, I could make noise in the playoffs in Atlanta. I'll tell you where he's not going. He's not going to Cleveland.
He's not going to Baltimore.
Not going to Cleveland. But to Rust's point, everything Baltimore's looking for in a head coach is John Harbaugh.
Yeah.
Everything they're looking for.
Good luck.
He'll be the guy. He'll be the first domino. And now there's another wrinkle in NFL coaching. When we come back, we'll take our walk about the NFL playoff teams. We'll go to the NFC North. The Green Bay Packers snuck in by the hair of their chinny chin chin. Their quarterback play has been suspect. Wide receiver play has been suspect. Injuries, etc. What does this team look like? How we got here? But first, Rusty with sports. Looking like a tramp, like a video man. Demolition war, can I be your man? I see all your texts and YouTube chatter about the Damon Williams situation. I forgot to tell you. We will circle back on that for closing arguments, as there's a lot of conversation being had on that, as it is a very fascinating situation. I bet you, especially talking about kids these days. Kids these days. I got kids these days. They're difficult to count on. You know what you can count on? Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Stream your local NFL game live every Sunday, all season long, starting just $30 for your first year. That's like $250 a month. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. We've taken the opportunity this week to walk around the NFL and look at all the playoff teams and kind of dive into how they got here, how they were built, coaches, new coaches, old coaches, free agents, trades, what their future looks like, and how their season kind of shook out. And that leads us to the Green Bay Packers. They were my preseason team to go to the Super Bowl. I felt that way even before they got Micah Parsons. I think once Micah came in, it really kind of solidified my feeling. And the biggest reason why I felt that way was, A, I thought it was a make-or-break year for Matt LaFleur. I felt like he really needed to come on strong and show that he is an elite NFL coach. And, B, I thought it'd be the Jordan Love breakout year. I really did. Mm-hmm. It was Favre's breakout year in the same time frame. Rodgers' breakout in the same time frame. Different coaches, I get it, but there's something about that quarterback thing in Green Bay. And I really felt Jordan Love would take a big jump. And I thought Matt LaFleur would cement himself as one of the top NFL coaches. And quite frankly, Danny, I was very wrong.
None of those things happen.
None of those things happen. What happens when I like things? They go to hell.
They die.
It's a really weird team. 9-7-1 to walk through their games. They have weird losses at the Browns and the Panthers. I mean, I guess the Panthers aren't as weird considering they are a playoff team, but we didn't like it at the time. A tie with the Dallas Cowboys in a shootout. Entertaining game. But that team, that Dallas Cowboy team is not good.
No.
Now, they did rattle off some wins against some good teams. They beat the Lions twice. Okay, remember week one? They looked like the best team in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You were real excited about that.
I was very excited about it because I was like, this is what I'm talking about. Love looked good. Game plan looked good. You know, Micah's running all over the field being crazy once he gets settled in over there over the next couple weeks. They got a good win against the Steelers, handling their division, and then everything falls apart.
They just cratered down the stretch.
Injuries, Kraft goes down, Micah goes down, Love's going down, Willis is going down, and this team can't find a wide receiver. We're talking about the Ravens and their issues at wide receiver. Who was the last great wide receiver in Green Bay? Donald Driver?
Been a minute.
Jordy Nelson?
Greg Jennings?
I mean, I don't even know if those guys were that great or if they just had awesome quarterbacks.
Yes.
Yes, maybe. That's where my biggest concern is for Green Bay when it comes to not just the playoffs, but even the future. Is Jordan Love the guy? I want to take another ride on Jordan Love.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't think you're not looking at him like Bryce Young.
No.
But maybe you shouldn't look at him as a top 10 guy. I think that's the question now.
And can you win a Super Bowl with a top 10 guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can.
That's what you need.
But you need more around it.
Yeah.
And Micah on that defense made that defense look really, really good. And Micah coming off that made them look really, really average.
Mm-hmm.
Paging Dallas Cowboys, they did the exact same thing too. I don't know what to do with this team. I don't know.
You let a Ravens team that's been hang 41 on you.
Mm-hmm. You won four in a row just to lose four in a row.
Mm-hmm.
Now, at the Broncos, at the Bears, those are playoff teams. Mm-hmm. One's a one seed, the other one your division. I don't count the Viking game because they weren't playing anybody.
No.
You're not peaking at the right time and you're not healthy.
No, you limped in as much as, I mean, maybe the Panthers are the only team that limped in more.
Who of the seven seeds do you have more faith in? We'll talk about them later.
Mm.
The Chargers or the Packers?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that's really close.
I think it's the Chargers.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they have no offensive line.
Yeah.
It's you and me on the left side.
Mm-hmm.
This might be a year. I'm not saying, oh, I missed Davante Adams. Thank you, Texter.
Oh, yeah, duh.
Totally forgot Davante Adams. That guy's a good wide receiver.
Great.
I don't think it's time to fire LaFleur. I've been very sour on him this season. I've kind of gone up and down. Just kind of weird body language.
Packer fan Harris.
Yeah, weird comments, weird statements, weird vibes from him that have kind of thrown me off. And same with Jordan Love. I'm not saying get rid of them both, but you might have to just this season and try and start from scratch next year and hope Micah is healthy.
And then you look at kind of what the Ravens did this year. It's like with what everything that's going on, do you make a coaching change next year if things are kind of status quo?
I think you do. I think, you know, who's a coach under more pressure next year than Matt LaFleur?
Hard-pressed to find one off the top of my head.
Maybe Mike Tomlin. But that feels, that's its weird own situation.
Yeah.
At some point,
everybody else has made changes.
Yeah, at some point the Heat's got to come at Shanahan. Just being real.
I mean,
at some point,
does it though? I mean, you win that many games?
Been to
with
two
all
Super
the things
Bowls?
They've been through? Yeah,
yeah.
No.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody's going to fault Shanahan. He's probably going to win Coach of the Year.
He should, for my money.
So
yeah, I don't know if there'd be another coach. I mean, maybe a Mike McDaniel if he sticks around, but that place is a dumpster fire.
Yeah, but is that
fire pressure? No, that's just. Your host.
Yeah.
Collect another paycheck before you go. And then here's the tough part about the Packers. Look, the Packers have been really good at, like, developing players.
Mm-hmm.
But, boy, they don't draft studs.
I mean, they do.
They do, but they're, you know, Reggie White.
In a different way.
Reggie White came over from Philly. Your quarterbacks become studs. I think your quarterbacks turn some wide receivers into studs, with the exception of Davante Adams. I think he was going to be a stud no matter what. Where we talk about this with the Oregon Duck defense, you know, the unit is good.
Yeah.
But only now we're starting to see Uiagalelei make giant plays. Dylan Thienemann make giant plays. We don't see that in Green Bay yet. And no, we haven't for a long
time.
They're
good. Like, Rashawn Gary's good. Mm-hmm. Very good. But, like, it's the addition of Micah was the thing that, like, made them special.
Mm-hmm.
And because they now had that other guy on the other side. You know, the back end's solid. I mean, pass rush was great. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, it's weird because I think the Packers are, like, they're held to a different standard because they're the Packers.
Yeah.
Like, when the Bears are this, we're all sitting there going, oh, my God, the Bears.
This is so cool.
This is crazy. If the Packers had done this and been like, yeah, they're the Packers. They've got LaFleur. They've got Jordan Love. They've got Josh Jacobs. They, you know, they traded for Micah Parsons. Like, the narrative would be drastically different. It would be expectation. That's what I think a big part of this is not only is, like, this team, because of, like, the players that they do have and the investments that they have made and the trade that they made for Micah, but it's also the expectation of a franchise that's just very good.
Mm-hmm.
Consistently, very good.
We talk about blue
great.
We talk about blue bloods in college football. This is the blue blood.
It's, you know, the biggest fan bases in the country. It's the Cowboys, it's the Packers, the Steelers, and the Raiders.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the largest fan bases in the country.
Mm-hmm.
Because over the long, even though my Raiders have sucked, and I'm not just tossing them in there, they are. They just
100%.
They are.
Oh, right? I mean, the Cowboys have sucked for 30 years, yeah, and they're still number one.
It doesn't matter because you've been around for so. Mm-hmm. Long.
Had success when the league was growing. Mm-hmm. You know, Green Bay's won the first two Super Bowls. John Madden was on video games.
And the Steelers and Packers TV are just kind of like marks of...
They're winners.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They're winners. That being said, they will take on the Bears for just the second time in the history of the NFL in the playoffs.
That's why I'm excited for that game.
You know what's weird? And this is totally me crapping all over Caleb Williams. Give me the Packers.
Yeah. I'll pick the Bears.
I think it's going to be a sneaky, fun game. And maybe not sneaky, but... I think it's going to be a really fun game. If the Bears win, I'm not surprised.
Yeah.
I think I'm just, you know, I love to poo-poo on Caleb, and I'm not quite sure why.
And
if Caleb comes out...
Because you're pro-Packer.
If Caleb comes out, and maybe it's just the green. Dude, maybe I'm just obsessed with green.
You
now.
Are.
Packers, Ducks. Timbers. Who else is green? Ooh, Tim. Well, that's already my love.
See, you're...
I already had my love there.
Yeah, that crimson's just washing right out. You've got green blood now.
I hope Caleb comes to play in this game. We'll get to the Bears tomorrow. I believe we have them on the schedule for tomorrow. If Caleb does well, then I will probably turn my cord on him. You don't think so?
No.
We'll have to figure out why I don't like Caleb. You want to play that game?
Yeah, there you go.
Play the why game and back it up, why I don't like Caleb?
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's do that. Not next, though.
No.
We'll do that tomorrow. We come back. It's everybody's favorite web gems. Speaking of Fishers out there, this guy just can't get things right, can you? We're actually getting a little baseball on you. Live from Vegas, Web Gems, 105.1 The Fam.
Sometimes it's good.
Aw, I've interrupted happy time.
Sometimes it's bad.
Ow, son of a...
It's Web Gems.
What'd you do?
The firm of Harris and Meringue on the Fan Sports Network, 105.1 and 1080 The Fan.
All right, this is everybody's favorite Web Gems. Do it every single day at 11:45. But I always love to tease the big nooner coming up on the firm of Harrison Meringue. We'll continue our NFL jaunt of playoff teams. We'll get into the San Francisco 49ers along with the Los Angeles Chargers. Two Harbaughs in one day. Not enough Harbaughs around here. Maybe we'll get Jack on the horn. And we'll touch in on some Blazers for sure. Trademark, a lot of you guys are asking about trademark and stuff, so I figured I got my guy Danny Meringue right here. We can have some conversations about that, plus a little peekaboo to the Houston Rockets that they're in town. Closing arguments. Go back to Damon Williams and kids and signing contracts and how to handle that, so that'll be fun. But Web Gems today is brought to you by, well, the city of Las Vegas. The U.S. Patent and Trademark Office has denied the Athletics from trademarking the name Las Vegas Athletics and Vegas Athletics.
Why?
Well, they are told that the nickname Athletics is too generic and be confused with other activities, even if associated with Las Vegas.
Weird. Here's your sign.
Did you guys not pay them off? Have we not seen Casino?
Yeah.
Have we not seen The Godfather Part 2? This is how it works. The Vegas commissions get paid.
Well, Fisher's cheap.
Bro, this is going to be a disaster for you because then people are just going to make knockoff stuff of you and you can't do anything about it. Thus making even less money than you're making now.
Have fun.
It's pretty wild concept. I would argue that I think it's kind of bullsh. From
is it too late for the Portland Athletics?
The U.S. Patent and Trademark Office to deny that because as this AP article stands out, which, you know, as a wannabe baseball historian, I know they were the Philly Athletics in 1901 kept the nickname when they moved to Kansas City in, what year is it, 55, and then they moved to Oakland in 68. The Athletics has been a brand in Major League Baseball for over 100 years. It's one of the coolest brands in baseball. I mean, you have to be like 65 plus to really understand that, because in the late 60s, early 70s, the Athletics were a fun club.
Dude, I got an Eckersley throws back.
Eckersley
throws back. Throws back.
Eckersley has one of the most famous pitches hit for home run in baseball history. Eck is in the Hall of Fame. He's the first guy to really be a closer. Let's talk about what's his name was doing in the late 60s and 70s, turning the A's into an entertainment aspect in the Bay Area to draw in fans. Reggie Jackson.
Let's not forget Ricky loves him. Ricky.
Ricky loves Ricky. There's a lot of really cool. I mean, Billy Beane.
Moneyball.
Yeah. Dee Bautista. You like Moneyball. Like, there's a lot of really, really cool history surrounded this franchise, and I think that's why a lot of us...
Let's not forget the Giambi, Damon teams.
How about the Bash Brothers?
Yeah.
In Canseco and McGuire?
Dennis Eckersley yet?
Yes, yeah. We did. I can see you paying attention over there.
Sorry, in here. Yeah, editing.
Yeah, we got you.
I think
paying
for...
attention, Ron?
Nope. I think that's why some of us diehard baseball fans like myself... I think that's why a lot of this Fisher and Oakland Athletic, Vegas Athletic, West Sacramento Athletics things really kind of pisses us off, because it's a cool franchise.
Yeah.
It's a cool logo. It's cool colors. Green.
There you go.
Maybe I'm an A's fan
now. There you go.
It's cool colors.
Giving up your Gardos?
Never. I'll never make that mistake again. Baby, I love you. I love you. I mean, I hate you, but I love you.
Yeah, there you go.
And I think that's why this stuff pisses people off. Like, you want to move to Vegas? I got no problem. The A's have been the most moved team in Major League Baseball history. That's what they do. Baseball wants a team in Vegas. Why not send the team that moves all the time?
There you go.
That makes sense to me. However, it's just bad ownership. This roster, not to get, like, super nerdy in baseball, the A's are a team that could be really good this year. They really could. They've got a decent farm system.
Oh, they spend money.
They're locking up all their kids. I'm kind of into them.
There you go.
But then you do bullsh like this.
Well, that's ownership. It's always gonna come back to Fisher, man. It always, no matter what it is, it's gonna come back to Fisher.
I want a baseball team in Portland so bad. I wouldn't deal with this. It's not worth it for me. As somebody who roots for a team that has bad ownership in the Dolans and the Cleveland Guardians, hard pass. It's brutal, man. It's absolutely brutal. Look what goes
on.
The
handcuff it puts on you.
Look what goes on with the Timbers. If you split my Timbers fandom or the Timbers as an MLS squad in half, they have the same owner. The first half, we love him. Second half, we hate him. And so when you get to a point where you have an owner that you don't really love, it is very, very hard to come back from.
Yeah.
It's really tough.
How many redemption owners have there been? Just in general, across sports.
Can you think of any off the top of your head? Just one.
Cuban.
But was he a redemption, or did he become a redemption after he left?
No, I mean, like, early on, he meddled.
Yeah.
And then got it together.
And I would argue most Mavericks fans wish he still owned the team.
Yep.
Although I like Cooper Flagg a lot.
I think Cuban wishes he still owned
this. Outside of Cuban, huh?
I mean, realistically... It's either you're a good owner or you're not. Like, how many really...
Ballmer?
Maybe Steinbrenner?
No, oh, that's a good one.
Maybe Steinbrenner?
Yeah.
The 80s were a rough time for the
rough,
A's.
Rough patch. But it's a short
it's
list,
It's a short
man.
List. You are correct. Yeah. I'm trying to think.
Team I mean, just gets sold.
I mean, it ain't the Allens.
Nope.
We all love Paul.
Marge Schott.
Wait, what? You know, we all loved Paul, and Paul can rest in peace, and we thank him for a lot... for kind of ushering the Blazers into modern basketball. But it ain't Jody.
No.
That's for sure. Yeah, I don't know. Talk to Kings fans right now.
Yeah, I mean, they loved Vivek at first because they got, you know, took him over from the Maloofs. And
dude, I got a great one for you. The Clippers.
Well, yeah, I mean from...
Sterling to Ballmer, life was awesome.
But that's
what
a team.
I said, Ballmer.
Yeah,
oh, did you say? Oh, I guess I wasn't
but
paying
that's,
attention.
Yeah,
right?
There you go.
Poop on my face.
But that's also a team being sold. It's not a redemption story of the same person.
Sure, Sterling didn't come back to not be a POS. Yeah, I don't know. I'm going to have to stew on that.
It's tough, man. Usually the only way it changes is if it changes hands.
Yeah, if you got any ideas, let me know. 503-864-6326 over on the YouTube chat. redemption stories of owners. It ain't going to be Fisher. I'll tell you that.
Somebody just texted him, Jerry Jones. I would argue no.
Jerry's always going backwards.
Yeah.
Jerry's always going backwards, especially as he's aging and his health is clearly deteriorating.
We just saw him on TV.
He looks terrible.
It was like, oh, buddy.
Yeah. Yeah, let me know. That'd be fantastic. We come up.
Jerry says, we're a better team without Micah Parsons.
Exactly.
Okay, buddy. It's Eberflus's problem. That's the problem. Mm. It's Matt Eberflus. Mm. I mean, he was a problem, but it's not the problem.
Just like each of the defensive coordinators, each of the first 3 years before that, too, right?
What would you say you do here?
Yeah.
We come back. It's the big nooner. Let's get into some of them Blazers chatter. Y'all want to know about trade market?
Mm.
You might not like what I got to say. At least Danny might be nicer about it than me. We'll get to that in the big nooner, 105.1 The Fan.